Welcome to Macro Observer, March 4th, 2026. Today's briefing centers on a convergence that's impossible to ignore. The United States is now operating with a 40% spending deficit while facing $9 trillion in debt that must be rolled over. This isn't a distant warning anymore. This is the structural reality shaping every market we're watching. Let me frame what's happening here. The federal government is spending $7 trillion while bringing in $5 trillion in revenue. That $2 trillion gap would be concerning enough on its own, but here's where the mathematics become genuinely constraining. Half of all federal spending now goes to interest payments. We're looking at a 600% debt-to-revenue ratio, and this fundamentally changes what monetary policy can actually accomplish. When your interest bill consumes $1 trillion annually out of a $2 trillion total deficit, you've entered a regime where traditional rate adjustments stop working the way textbooks suggest they should. Building on that fiscal pressure, we're seeing the Congressional Budget Office project a 6% deficit to GDP ratio for 2026. That's double the 3% stabilization threshold that both parties have acknowledged in legislative discussions. What makes this particularly significant is the rollover requirement. $9 trillion in maturing debt needs new buyers over the next funding cycle, and the traditional buyer base has fundamentally shifted. Let me walk through those structural changes. Commercial banks currently hold only 15% of marketable treasury securities. Back in the early 2000s, that figure was 33%. Meanwhile, the Federal Reserve's holdings have declined from a peak of 24 to 25% down to 14% today. Foreign central banks have reduced their treasury allocations from 33% to 15% of their marketable securities portfolios. So we're watching systematic diversification away from dollar-denominated assets across multiple buyer categories simultaneously. This brings us directly to Kevin Warsh, the Fed chair nominee whose monetarist framework is about to reshape policy implementation. Warsh has been explicit about viewing the current $6.6 trillion balance sheet as substantially oversized. His stated objective is to achieve, quote, as riskless as possible and as small as possible positioning over time. Translation, he's targeting a reduction back toward pre-crisis levels around $1 trillion. Now, the implementation timeline remains uncertain given obvious political constraints, but the directional intent is clear. Warsh views the pandemic-era balance sheet expansion as the primary driver of inflation, requiring systematic unwinding to restore price stability. This creates an immediate question. If the Fed is selling treasuries while the government needs to roll over $9 trillion in maturing debt, who becomes the marginal buyer? This is where the Trump 2.0 bank deregulation initiative becomes structurally important. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and Fed Governor Michelle Bowman are leading an effort to reverse Basel III and Dodd-Frank constraints that increased reserve asset demands after 2008. Commercial bank asset growth has already accelerated to 7.6% on a three-month annualized basis as the regulatory environment loosens. The specific targeting focuses on capital requirements that prevented banks from serving as treasury market makers. What we're witnessing is regulatory rollback explicitly designed to position commercial banks as the natural successors to Fed treasury purchases. Large banks and regional institutions become primary beneficiaries through expanded treasury market share and reduced compliance costs. This isn't coincidental policy timing. This is coordinated architecture to facilitate balance sheet normalization without market disruption. Meanwhile, Treasury Secretary Bessent has stated his intention to, quote, monetize the asset side of the balance sheet through potential gold revaluation. The statutory price remains $42.22 per ounce. Revaluing to current market levels could generate approximately $2 trillion for proposed sovereign wealth fund deployment. Looking at the broader pattern here, we're seeing operational coordination between the Fed and Treasury that Warsh has explicitly discussed. This potential, quote, melding of operations could implement yield curve control mechanisms that circumvent traditional monetary policy constraints, though such coordination obviously raises questions about Federal Reserve independence. Let's shift to what precious metals markets are telling us about institutional positioning. Gold has established $5,000 as a new price floor, following 80% appreciation. Over that same measurement period, Bitcoin declined 25%. This divergence matters because it reflects differential institutional adoption patterns for alternative monetary assets. Central banks globally have been systematically increasing gold reserves while reducing treasury holdings.
This represents a fundamental shift from post-Bretton Woods dollar reserve currency dominance. The acceleration is notable. What began as Eastern and Southeast Asia demand has now spread to Western institutions. Family offices and traditional institutional allocations to precious metals remain minimal at 1 to 2%, despite price appreciation, suggesting significant capital deployment runway if portfolio construction shifts toward alternative assets. Institutional derivative positioning provides additional signal. We're seeing concentrated accumulation at $15,000 to $16,000 gold strike prices for December expiration. This suggests sophisticated money is anticipating major price movements, potentially reflecting insider knowledge or the capacity to influence markets through concentrated capital deployment. Some strategists are positioning for coordinated gold revaluation around $20,000 levels to facilitate new monetary arrangements, though the political coordination required for such action remains speculative. What's concrete is Wall Street firms now recommending 20% gold allocations in traditional portfolios, up from historical 1 to 2% positioning. This creates structural demand that's just beginning to flow through to actual portfolio rebalancing. Now, let me address the acute risk that's emerged in the past 48 hours. Geopolitical escalation in the Strait of Hormuz has removed 3 million barrels per day from global oil supply. That's approximately 3% of total global supply coming offline simultaneously. The immediate pricing pressures compound Federal Reserve inflation management challenges at precisely the moment when debt service constraints limit monetary policy flexibility. Here's the impossible positioning this creates. Rate increases to combat inflation would further stress debt service capacity, given that $1 trillion annual interest bill. Rate cuts to support growth would accelerate currency debasement and potentially trigger further dollar diversification by foreign holders. We're looking at stagflation risks where traditional policy tools cannot adequately address both sides of the problem simultaneously. Military objectives remain unclear, with conflicting official statements suggesting higher probability of extended engagement beyond initial 4 to 5 week estimates. Ground force deployment has not been ruled out, which would escalate potential conflict scope significantly. Regional shipping disruption could expand beyond the current theater, affecting broader commodity flows and trade finance infrastructure. Systematic risk management systems, which now manage between $25 and $30 trillion in aggregate assets, are positioned to benefit from volatility through programmatic rebalancing that discretionary approaches simply cannot match during geopolitical stress. Let me turn to fintech implications, because these macro dynamics create direct regulatory and market structure consequences. We're seeing bifurcation in AI venture deployment that mirrors broader economic stratification. OpenAI approaches 1 billion monthly active users, while maintaining a valuation near $800 billion. Anthropic's Claude has reached approximately $400 billion despite being a more recent vintage. However, vertical AI applications face commoditization pressure as general models expand capabilities.
Early AI writing tools like Jasper are experiencing significant revenue decline as ChatGPT and Claude provide comparable functionality at lower cost. The pattern emerging shows enterprise AI solutions in compliance-heavy sectors maintaining stronger defensibility through domain-specific implementations. Healthcare, legal, and financial services applications require integration layers and regulatory compliance that general models cannot easily replicate. Corporate AI adoption has reached genuine productivity inflection points. Companies like Block are eliminating 50% of workforce while stock surges 20%, indicating real operational efficiency rather than speculative positioning. The regulatory landscape for digital assets remains undefined, despite momentum toward a proposed Clarity Act, compared by proponents to 1990s telecommunications deregulation. The New York Stock Exchange is reportedly prepared to facilitate tokenized asset trading infrastructure, but specific frameworks for digital asset exchanges, stablecoin issuance, and custody requirements haven't materialized yet. This creates continued uncertainty for fintech infrastructure providers attempting to build compliant institutional-grade platforms. What does present immediate opportunity is financial infrastructure supporting alternative monetary assets. As institutional adoption accelerates, fintech platforms enabling fractional ownership, automated rebalancing, and integrated custody solutions are capturing structural market share from traditional brokerages. Digital gold offerings, cryptocurrency metals arbitrage vehicles, and robo-advisors integrating alternative assets represent areas where regulatory clarity and institutional demand are beginning to converge into defensible business models. Looking at commodity markets more broadly, we're seeing resource nationalism present increasing challenges for mining operations globally. Regulatory limits and tenure ownership risks are making new mine development progressively more difficult across multiple jurisdictions. This creates interesting jurisdictional competition dynamics. Saudi Arabia is demonstrating regulatory advantages through 100% foreign ownership allowances, 90-day company formation timelines, and reimbursable grants up to $2 million per license. These are regulatory arbitrage opportunities unavailable in developed markets that mirror fintech regulatory competition patterns. The kingdom's processing hub strategy for battery metals and rare earths directly impacts fintech hardware supply chains, particularly as critical minerals designation creates vertical integration incentives. Meanwhile, Russian uranium import bans implementing by end of 2025 create a 20 million pound supply gap equivalent to 20% of US nuclear electricity generation. This demonstrates how trade policy creates material impact on domestic energy infrastructure costs, which flows through to data center operations and computing infrastructure essential for fintech platforms. Precious metals streaming and royalty business models present compelling risk-adjusted returns during commodity cycles while maintaining regulatory moats unavailable to traditional mining equity. Wheaton Precious Metals' $4.3 billion Antamina transaction demonstrates the scale of capital deployment possible in established assets. The streaming model provides non-dilutive capital to miners while capturing upside through predetermined metal delivery contracts. The company's selectivity, evaluating 20 potential assets for every one transaction, combined with structural protections like parental guarantees and comprehensive security provisions, creates defensive characteristics during market stress. Projected $10 billion in free cash flow over 3 years provides substantial reinvestment capacity for accretive acquisitions, while limited quality asset availability positions the sector advantageously as institutional allocation toward alternative assets accelerates. Let me synthesize what this means for macro positioning. We're watching three structural forces converge. First, federal fiscal mathematics have reached unsustainable trajectories, with debt service consuming half of all spending and rollover requirements reaching $9 trillion. Second, the traditional treasury buyer base has systematically diversified away from dollar-denominated assets, with central banks reducing allocations from 33% to 15% while increasing gold reserves. Third, incoming Fed leadership under Kevin Warsh signals dramatic balance sheet reduction from $6.6 trillion toward $1 trillion, requiring new marginal buyers exactly when fiscal pressures demand increased issuance. The policy response architecture positions deregulated commercial banks to absorb supply as Basel III and Dodd-Frank rollbacks ease capital constraints. This creates coordination between Fed balance sheet normalization and Treasury funding requirements, though the operational mechanics raise fundamental questions about central bank independence. Meanwhile, geopolitical escalation in the Strait of Hormuz removes 3% of global oil supply, creating commodity price pressures that compound inflation management challenges for rate-constrained monetary policy. The impossible positioning: raising rates stresses debt service, cutting rates accelerates debasement. Traditional policy tools cannot adequately address both dimensions simultaneously. For fintech infrastructure and financial services, this creates both risk management imperatives and strategic positioning opportunities. Platforms enabling institutional access to alternative monetary assets, systematic risk management overlays, and commodity exposure vehicles are capturing structural demand as portfolio construction shifts away from traditional allocations. The regulatory rollback benefiting commercial banks extends competitive advantages to large institutions over fintech challengers, though digital asset infrastructure awaits clarity that remains perpetually imminent but never quite arriving. The fintech thesis update. We're entering a regime where fiscal dominance constrains monetary policy effectiveness, creating structural demand for alternative assets and systematic approaches to volatility management. The regulatory architecture is being rebuilt to facilitate treasury market functioning as the Fed exits, positioning traditional banks as primary beneficiaries, while fintech innovation concentrates in alternative asset infrastructure and AI-driven operational efficiency. The $9 trillion rollover isn't a future problem. It's the current constraint shaping every policy decision being made right now. Watching the rails. Until tomorrow.